You know, I really didn't like you whenever we first met.
Yeah.
And I was right the first time.
What? Why?
You. You don't care about me. You just wanted to see your daughter, right? No, you lied to me. You used me. Like Aunt Lydia. Like they all do. You're one of them.
Hester, I was trying to help you survive. Like June helped me.
You're not June. You know, you're a disgrace. I fucking hate you.
Oh my God, Hester.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jason.
And this is the Handmaid's Tale podcast.
This week we're covering The Handmaid's Tale Season 5, Episode 2, Ballet.
In this episode, June goes to the ballet. The end.
Yeah, that's not really all that happens.
That wasn't
although
the point.
No. A lot happened in this episode. There were some subtle things that I took from it. And some connections to prior episodes that I thought about. So I'm interested, when we get into the conversation, if you guys had similar thoughts or if you noticed some of the things I noticed.
Interesting.
Yeah, just a few little things that I remembered. But I feel like we have to start off this episode by talking about the announcement that was made.
That's probably a week old for you guys, but it's fresh for us.
Yes. Yeah. So yesterday we found out, or rather last night we found out, that The Handmaid's Tale has been renewed for season 6, which will also be the final season for the show.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I was glad to hear that.
Me too.
They talked about 10, and that just seems too risky to me that it could go off the rails.
It's probably exhausting to make as well for and to act in.
Yeah.
They're like, please, Bruce.
Elizabeth Moss is tired.
Just end it. People are leaving the show. Come on.
Elizabeth Moss's face is tired.
Yeah.
Through all of that. Yeah. I didn't find out from a press release or anything. I was just on Facebook and it popped up this little video that the cast did talking about the renewal and it being the last season. So I was happy with finding out that way. I thought it was cool.
I think 6 is a sweet spot for good shows.
Yeah. Better Call Saul just totally stuck the landing on season 6.
And Breaking Bad was, I think, 5 or 6?
5.
Well, it was technically 5, but 5A was 1 year, and then 5B was a year later. Mm-hmm. It was 6. And it was about the same amount of episodes as Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
I think this is good. Hopefully, it's what everybody wanted, and it wasn't, imposed upon them or anything. We haven't really heard yet, right?
Yeah.
No, nothing has come out yet. I know that there are some other plans, and once we get to the news section, I'll talk a little bit about that, about what the future looks like after The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty exciting.
Do 5 spinoffs, like Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fear the Handmaid.
Fear the Handmaid's Tale.
It's exciting. I agree with you, Jason. I like that they're going to have an ending. Like, we have an ending coming. Mm-hmm.
Feels good.
I don't want it to go down, like you said, I don't want it to go off the rails. I don't want it to go down a road of getting how much more brutal can we get to these women?
No way. That's enough. Even just being back in Gilead this episode, which we'll get to, I was like, no, I hate this fucking place. And yeah, also just the arc of the story feels like season six could be a good, you know, mm-hmm. with what's happened so far, a good ending point.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm excited. And I, again, I think I mentioned this before, when you have a showrunner that you trust to deliver consistently quality, good storytelling, you trust them to know when it's time to close the door or close the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
he knows when
I
to hold them and knows when to fold them.
Yep. Kenny Rogers. Yes. So I feel like we should probably just get, you know, just jump into it this week. And Wendy went first last week, so I'm going to pick on Jason to go first this week.
Oh, man.
Are you ready, Jason?
I am, but my first one is really long, so I almost feel guilty about that. So please jump in, because I couldn't figure out a way to divide it up. I'm calling it, well, in general,
my points were the same way. Like, they all blended in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In general, I just want to say I hate being back in Gilead and fuck that place. But this is a great episode. Fantastic, disturbing, knife-twisting episode. That's what I thought of the episode in general. But for number one, I have Serena's Ballet, which I think that maybe the episode is called Ballet because, you know, June goes to the ballet, but also Serena's sort of masterful rise to her more powerful position at the end is something of a ballet.
You know, it's she's funny because I have this as part of a point that I have, and I titled it The Rise of Serena. Like, you know, I think it's like Terminator 3 is The Rise of the Machines or something. I feel like this
Star Wars is The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I feel like this is The Rise of Serena, this episode. Uh-huh.
And it was really, you know, last week, because we thought she was in trouble. She's she's in trouble in Canada. Like, I had to go back and remember. So she tricked Fred into going to Canada to give him up in exchange for getting visitation rights with Nicole and some kind of immunity. But then they caught her on a technicality because she had immunity for the standard practices of Gilead of this whole handmade thing. But then when they found out that she had June have sex with Nick, that was outside of that. So then she got charged with sexual prostitution or I forget what. But anyway, so then they were able to sort of incarcerate her and she was in trouble. And then I presume that Gilead knows that she gave up Fred, because otherwise why would she be so afraid or, you know, not sure how it's going to be when she goes back there? So she's kind of in trouble in both places. So then I remember last week being like, maybe she'll be a handmaid, which is awful to like, God, I wonder if people were like disturbed by, but I just, you know, she's done such bad things, as we saw in this montage of June remembering all the shitty things that Serena ever did. It's horrible. And so, I don't know. Yeah, it's no one should ever wish that on anyone. I totally get that. But
Jason, that's what June did.
That's what June did. And she said and worse, not only a handmaid, maybe she'll lose her baby and be a handmaid and then go on the wall, like all the worst things you could think of. And I thought that was interesting. And it kind of made me smirk a little because I had talked about that, but then the show does what it often does, and you think people are going to react a certain way. I mean, that happened last week. We thought June was going to get in trouble. Well, he thought she might, at least, for killing Fred. And no, we're just letting you off. And then not only is Serena not going to be a handmaid, but she is treated like a fucking queen, like June says.
Mm-hmm.
So
she has a lot more power, I think, than I thought that she would have. But I also think she has a few partners in that power, and I can't figure out who's playing who.
What do you mean by that?
In this, because I feel like she has help from Lawrence and Nick with this little master plan that she had to get this big broadcast for Fred's funeral. And I feel like they're playing her for a long game for what they're going to use her now. Fred, not Fred, but I feel like Lawrence and Nick are using Serena now, but she's also using them.
If it's Fred, it's really clever. Like, if he comes back, like, wow.
No. So,
missing a finger.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little beat up.
I know. Yeah. So, I think that Lawrence and Nick are very smart and calculating, and I think they're playing a very long game to be in control of Gilead. I think they want to be on top. And I think they know that Serena's idea to broadcast Fred's funeral is a great way of showing them as humane people. Mm-hmm. As like they're grieving like any other country would grieve over the loss of a leader. And I think because they think that, they're willing to help her go that mile to do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she also has them over a barrel because she's not fooled by them. She knows they had something to do with Fred's death.
So she meets Nick and Lawrence on the tarmac, and I'm thinking, what does she exactly know about how Fred died? She knows June did it because she got sent the finger. And I was looking back to last episode, because that's when she found out. And this agent, Marcia McFadden, told her, "This morning, Canadian border enforcement agents recovered a body. It's your husband. He's dead." And then Mark tells her there was a change in Commander Waterford's itinerary. He wasn't on his way to Geneva. So she didn't even know that that part got canceled. And then he tells her that the U.S. made a deal with Gilead and says an exchange with the 22 women. He says last night he was involved in a prisoner exchange. Oh, I guess it was at the border. They agreed to try him under the Gilead system. I don't know what happened to him. So she knows about all that, but she doesn't know for sure that who was there to take Fred. And Mark doesn't want to tell her.
Nick said that it was the Americans.
Yeah.
He said we have no control over what the Americans do.
But I'm not, that's a little vague. Like if I was her, I might be like, so wait, did the eyes take him, but then they got ambushed, or what are you saying? Mm-hmm. You know, because they kind of left that part out. But she did say his wounds didn't look like something the eyes would do. So she seems to have presumed that the eyes picked him up, which maybe is what would standard happen in a situation like this. Anyway, I mean, after a while, she knows, like she said to Commander Lawrence, it would be a shame if they found out that a commander helped a handmaid kill another commander. And so she's using that as leverage to get this bigger funeral. He doesn't argue. So I think that's sort of implicit now. She knows. I mean, it makes sense, right? Nick is the head of the eyes. Nick was June's lover. Commander Lawrence is back in power. And he was, I don't know, I don't remember how much Serena knows about what June and Commander Lawrence did together, but I think she knows a lot. And she at least knows that she was his handmaid. So anyway, she knows. She knows it was them. She's not like going rageful at them or anything about what they did. No, she's just like, okay, how can I use this to get what I want? Which is very her.
I don't think that's why they did it though, because she doesn't have any evidence and he's a traitor. Mm-hmm. I don't think they care that much about how he died.
You could be right, because I mean, she said that to Lawrence, like, wouldn't it be a shame? And he goes, okay. And then he goes off and then he comes back and goes, well, they said no. So he doesn't seem that afraid. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what made me wonder, why did they take the actions, Nick and Lawrence, why did they take the actions they did? Why did they help her?
Because there's something bigger they're going to get out of it. I feel like they're dedicated to Gilead, and Serena's right. Show them humane, like be doing this humane thing.
I wondered about that too. I mean, even if they're sort of feeling like, okay, we don't agree with everything Gilead does, but we're flying under the radar, which when Mark said to Nick something like, okay, you have risen to power and you are helping June, but you're flying under the radar. That takes talent. My first thought was, we always hear that about Nick, but we don't actually see it. Like, he's gone for a season and then they tell us he's in charge, but we didn't get it. But then also, maybe that's sort of a sly indication that Nick, you can't trust any, maybe we can't trust what we see from Nick. He's so talented, like what you're saying. But I mean, I think whether or not they believe in the ideals of Gilead, it would since they're there, they're in the system, it would be better for them if Gilead was more accepted around the world. And if they could actually push Gilead towards being more humane, then that might be more closer to what they would really want anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's what they want. I think they want it to be different than it is. Maybe less cruel.
Or I was thinking, are they working towards the downfall of Gilead? That was also, those were kind of the three options, was like, they're just looking to get on top, or they're looking to make Gilead better, or are they in some way looking at helping it to fall?
Do you have a connect the dots for how?
No, that's the big question.
We still have another,
eight, 10, 16 episodes. It was like their motivations were a little unclear.
Yeah.
And I think they're meant to be. At this point. Yeah.
Yeah. They're very mysterious, I think.
So the whole thing about the funeral, Serena says, you know, if we're to be respected, she just goes straight to the commanders. I think we need to show them that we grieve just like they do. I think we need to make Fred's funeral an international event, broadcast across the globe. It makes sense to me that that she would appeal to these commanders' desire to have Gilead be respected around the world and take a bigger role in everything. But I don't know. Maybe I just don't know enough about how these geopolitical machinations work. But to me, it doesn't make sense that, oh, look, Gilead's having a funeral for somebody. Wow, we should respect them more. Who cares?
Well, here's the thing. Gilead has not let reporters in, and they've been extremely private and closed off. Think like what Russia's doing right now. And so this was a big deal. To have this be live streamed, that was a big deal, because they had never allowed people to come in and look at what was happening. If you had this huge country with this crazy history, and all of a sudden they're opening it up and globally broadcasting it, I think people would be transfixed by what's happening. And that's why it was showed everywhere.
They'd be intrigued, I think.
Okay. Well, were the handmaids there? I forget.
Yes,
they were. In the parade?
Yeah, they were not in the parade. They were there on the side, and they had these veils.
They had their black funerary outfits and their red veils covering their entire faces. Yeah. I don't think that image would do Gilead any good, personally.
I get what you're saying. I don't think any of those images, like having people all wearing the same
outfits. Yeah, it's very culty.
Yeah.
A little misguided, maybe, but I think that is the intention of the show, that this is supposed to help them. And then that has me worried. Oh, is that where the show's going? They are going to actually have greater standing in the world? It could be for a while, you know. It'd be intriguing for a storyline, but the emotional part of me is like, no.
Serena kind of pitched it like this PR opportunity.
Yeah.
When she pitched it to them. But I think we all know what her plan was, what she really wanted to do. And we saw that at the end of the episode.
But wait, I'm not quite done yet. So Serena's trying to convince them. She's not quite succeeding, but then Nick and Lawrence jump in. And when they're like, he's a traitor, what good would it, what would that show people? That, what are they going to think? And he's like, that we're merciful. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, Nick. You just caused it so that June has to look at Hannah on a big screen at the end of this episode.
Yes. Good job, Nick.
He didn't know that, but
good job.
And and then it became this like funeral possession for a king with and so beautiful, big banners, hundreds of people, everybody in formation, the snow falling. I mean, I love how this show makes this disturbing place just look so artful, and the handmaids in their funerary garb, the children on the roadside, and then you see Hannah, which I'm glad it was the same actress still. That was shocking. But not to get too much into that, because I'll wrap up. But the point, I think, was, yeah, to stick it to June, which was interesting, because this whole episode, they're kind of focused more on June being fixated on Serena. But then you find out that everything Serena has been doing has at least in part been to get revenge on June for killing Fred, I think. But also, I think she actually, it's really important for Serena to get respect just in and of itself. She feels she deserves it. And I also think, even though their relationship was complicated, that she, I do think she's offended at Fred not getting respect too. I think the reason why they had her crying over his coffin in her room by herself, pretty much, except for one security guard standing way over on the side, is to show us that there is some sincere grief going on there. She wasn't putting on a show for anyone. And then I'm thinking, okay, power and respect to what end? Earlier in the episode, Naomi Putnam said, I hate her, by the way, and her husband, said, I wish she could stay in Gilead. And she goes, well, if he wills it, may the Lord guide all our paths. So it seems like she wants to stay there. And lately, she's been all about leveraging power and her power growing. So it seems like she wants to stay and become more powerful. And then I would presume try to change it so women can read again, right? I mean, is she going to want to be there if she's a second-class citizen? It doesn't seem like she liked that before.
She put that into place. Has she changed her mind?
Then she lost her finger because she stood in front of them and read the Bible.
Right.
So maybe she's flip-flop back and forth. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. She's a very complicated, mysterious person. And just when you think you've figured something out about her, she does something that makes you think, fuck, I was wrong the whole time.
I mean, I think she's definitely changed over the series, as we all do. I mean, there was a point where she handed Nicole over to June. They were a team. Mm-hmm. And there was another point where she threw June down on the floor just because she wasn't pregnant with the baby that her husband raped her to impregnate her with, you know? So she's been on both sides of horrible and a friend, but mostly horrible.
Yeah, I think she wants power, and she's gonna go where she can have the most power. And if that is in Gilead, then she'll stay there. Mm-hmm. Or if that's spreading the message of Gilead in Toronto, then that's where she'll go.
Yeah. And you know what else too? She has spent the last however long months in confinement with zero power. So I could see how that experience would make her be like, no, I don't want this. I'm going to go back to Gilead and get my power.
Is she going to gain citizenship in Canada and live in a crummy apartment and go get a job? No, that's not what she's going to do.
Start become a Leafs fan.
Yeah, no. I did like Lawrence's comment, though. When he's talking about hockey, and he just basically tells her she'd love it because it's elegant yet brutal. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that describes her. Like, she's elegant yet she's brutal. So, you know.
He had some great lines in this episode.
He really did.
So good. It was good to see him, because so many scenes are him being sad about his wife and at home in his dark home in a dark corner or something. Now he's out interacting with Serena and Nick and the other commanders and being a smarmy smartass. And it's a little levity, which is welcome on the show.
Well, he actually said to Serena when she got off the plane, we'd never leave a brother out in the cold. Well, that's exactly what he and Nick did. They let him out in the cold so June could kill him.
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh, man. It just reminded me, this episode reminded me, why Bradley Whitford is so incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why the character of Lawrence is one that I really enjoy watching.
I mean, I think everything they were saying was, the subtext of it was kind of the opposite. He's like, oh, how great we're all getting along. And it's like, no, you all hate each other. And, you know, or at least Serena like hates politics. The two of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny. It was funny, though.
All right. Well, Wendy, would you like to go next with your point?
I'll just continue my notes about the funeral procession. Did anybody think of the Queen when you were watching this?
The second time I did. Yeah. When I watched it tonight, I did.
Yeah. I had just found out when I was prepping it. Spoiler alert, the Queen
died. Makes sense.
Long live the King.
And by the way, You know, I've never been like a big proponent of monarchies or anything. I'm an American. I don't get it. But I felt really bad when I heard this. I did not expect to feel bad, but I just felt like, wow, she's such a symbol of, to go off on a tangent a little bit here, sorry, but of the UK. And it feels like it's changed, like my feeling. I don't know. It's just a big deal.
She's been the queen our entire lives.
Yeah, yes. Like twice our lives.
Right.
Yeah. So this is a weird time.
It's like she was the embodiment of it. And I do think that will probably never, you know, things change. Some yep. good, mm-hmm. some bad. But I think that's a big change that's happening there. I don't think anybody's going to feel the same way about Charles and his mm-mm. children just because it's a different world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Charles is a different person. And mm-hmm. and because of that, even if you're not pro-monarchy, most people, or at least me, I feel differently about the UK. I'm not saying, I mean, I love the UK a lot. It just has a different vibe now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I think about the UK, the Queen was a part of that, mm-hmm. you know?
She yep. always conducted herself in this professional yet kind facing way, I guess, when yeah. she was out in the public. And her kids don't always act that way. That's all I'm going to say.
She's classy.
She was very young when she took the throne. She was in her 20s and she spent, you know, 70 years and before that even in service of the country. And, you know, you might not like everything that stood for, but that's something to yeah. respect.
Yeah. She dedicated yeah. her whole life to that. So I did, Wendy, tonight when I was rewatching it in preparation mm-hmm. for this, I did get that vibe.
Yeah. The pomp and
yeah.
circumstance. Yeah. yeah.
Highfalutin.
I thought all the blues were beautiful in the ballet scene juxtaposed with the funeral procession. I thought, just like Jason said, the attention to detail, the colors, they showed all the different castes. The Marthas were in olive green. The commander's wives in the procession were in the royal blue veils. And then it showed the middle class wives in like blue nun outfits. And then finally, what I believe is called in the books is Econo wives, which is like the blue working class. I thought that was really interesting. I love all the costumes and mm-hmm. I'm just a nerd for all that.
And the kids are all together.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And because this is Handmaid's Tale, and if June has a happy moment, we must be very afraid.
Right.
So, of course, Serena has Hannah, the one thing mm-hmm. that she knows she can hurt June the most with. She's just broadcasting to June. She doesn't care about the world. It's just June. You know, yeah. I have her. I can kiss her on the forehead. I can hug her. I can hurt her. I have all the power. And it, you know, this show just continues to surprise me. I didn't know where it was heading, and I was shocked.
Yeah. Because you see Hannah on the sidelines. And because it's so brilliant that first, you know, I mean, she said, what is she, the fucking queen? And then to just for June to see Fred's getting a procession. What the hell? Fred's a monster. Oh, there's Serena. She is like the queen. Oh, wait, she's like the master in charge of this whole thing. That's messed up. And then to see Hannah, it's just a slap after slap in the face.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. when Serena looked down to the camera and June was looking up at the screen, I felt like they may as well have been looking right at each other, because
yeah, they were.
There's no way for Serena to know for sure that June is watching this, but I think she will see it at some point at least. And for the purpose of this episode, I think you could just say Serena knew. And oh, yeah. so it was mm-hmm. just like they were looking right at each other, and June was seething and Serena smirked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had definite June face.
Yeah.
We had June face and Serena smirk. I mean, that yeah. tells you all you need to know about who has the upper hand at the moment.
Right. And Luke had made a comment earlier in the episode, which came back to haunt me. He said, she can't get to you. But of course, she absolutely can. Luke's been almost a bystander in all this time. And this really struck Luke, too. Like, they were together oh, yeah. in their pain. And
yeah, because the whole point of Luke saying to June, what are you doing sending this finger? You're basically wrapped up in your vengeance. How, you're just going to provoke them. It's like poking the hornet's nest. How is that helping us as a family? How is it helping us getting our daughter? It's not. And he's totally right. It was fucking entertaining to watch for sure, or get that finger, but it's not good. It's not a good, smart thing to do. And then at this, when he sees her with Hannah, I think his thinking, I don't know for sure, but you'd think it would have to change a little bit. Like, okay, now she's got Hannah and is using Hannah, and that's what he cares about, Hannah. So maybe mm-hmm. he'll be like, okay, we have to act in some way or another mm-hmm. after this, you know?
Because he thinks June is obsessed with Serena.
He's right.
And he's right. But now I think maybe he'll understand why June is so obsessed with her. Because to me, it's a mutual obsession between June and Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They both are obsessed with the other.
They're like Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi, basically.
Yeah. They're the Handmaid's Tale version of that. Yeah. That was, watching that at the end was really rough.
The other comment that June made earlier was she told Luke that she wanted her to know it was me. Well, she knows.
Yeah.
Yep. And now see what she just did. Mm-hmm. I mean, she mm-hmm. didn't have to do mm-hmm. what she did. Mm-hmm. But when she and Lawrence were planning, were discussing, well, let's get on the funeral. Let's get on this. And she started talking about out-of-town commanders. I kind of knew at that point because, remember, Hannah was sent away.
You're right.
She was living with the Mackenzies.
You're right.
They were sent to Colorado Springs. So she's got to find a way to have Hannah there.
I was wondering about that scene where she started naming off the commanders, because you know mm-hmm. everything has a purpose in this show.
Always.
And you're right. I didn't even think about that.
I went and did a little bit of digging right mm-hmm. after, because I knew it. Yeah, it was one of those things that just ate at me just a little bit.
I mean, I just thought, I thought at the time that this whole thing was for multiple purposes, as I kind of said earlier, that it was about, like, this is going to make Serena have a lot of cachet to be on TV like that in Gilead, mm-hmm. I think. So that's beneficial for her for reasons that have nothing to do with June. But maybe that's all just besides the point for Serena. She doesn't care. And it was just to get back at June. I don't think so, but it's kind of delicious to think that might be what was going on too.
It's kind of like Serena's coming out party. Like her introduction to the world. Here I am. You know, like a debutante. Here I am.
Yeah.
Look at how kind I am with this young girl. She gives me flowers. Oh, isn't it terrible? My husband died.
I'm pretty.
Yeah. She's setting herself up to be
like a princess figure or something.
Yeah.
Somebody that they can't off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could become like a Kate Middleton type mm-hmm. or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, Wendy, did you have more to add to that?
No, I think that's good for that section.
Okay, well, I'm going to add some of my comments about it, because it was a big part of my point. I had two really major points, and this was one of them, was the rise of Serena. I don't know if you guys noticed, the one thing, the flipping back and forth between the ballet, which was Sleeping Beauty by Tchaikovsky, which makes me go back to think about June laying on the bed and Dream playing again at the start mm-hmm. of this episode. The way that this switched back and forth between the funeral procession and the ballet, again, I thought was fantastic. It was kind of terrifying. The procession bothered me in some ways, because I felt like it shows everyone just looking. You expect people to be sad at a funeral, but to me, they all just looked angry or disenchanted with things. Because it zoomed in at one point on the commander, what is her name?
Putnam's,
Naomi. Okay. So it zooms in on mm-hmm. Naomi Putnam's face, and she doesn't look sad. She just looks vacant to me. Like, it's just, yeah. I thought the funeral was a bit strange, but...
It's because they're all living according to these ideals out of a sense of righteousness and guilt, and those are the kinds of forces that are shaping their lives. But it's not about connection and love. She doesn't love Fred. She doesn't care about Fred.
No. No. And it just, to me, seemed like they were marching. Right. I mean, it's a procession, I know, but I mean, just marching wasn't like marching in remembrance. It was more or less like marching because they were forced to march. And
like they're in the boot camp or something.
Yeah. It was kind of, yeah. Did you guys notice who the director was for this episode?
Was it Tim Burton?
No, it was Elizabeth Moss. Again? She directed this one as well. Yes.
Maybe she's doing all of them.
I don't know.
She wrote it, too. Just kidding.
No, she didn't. I like the use of color. With Gilead, it's always about, to me, what looks stunning but sterile at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, void of any emotion, but beautiful to look at, but dull.
Yeah. And similar how there's things in formation or symmetrical, and it's cool to look at, but it also sort of represents how everybody is forced into their mm-hmm. positions, you know?
Yeah.
Which isn't a good thing.
No, it's...
And they're forced into uniformity. And to tamp down anything that would be unique or special about them.
Yeah.
Things like
that. Don't stand out. Just be one of a cog in a wheel. Mm-hmm. Not anyone special. And I feel like Serena, too, this entire episode, I feel like Serena knows she's being watched at all times. So she's always got a poker face no matter what. I don't think that you can... Mm-hmm. Fully.
Only when she was at the coffin did she break down a little
bit. Yeah, to have real emotion. But again, the way that was shot overhead, you've got this draping over his coffin with this huge sword on the cloth. I mean, there were so many overhead shots in this episode that, to me, were a big part of the story. I feel like we've covered pretty much everything that there is to say about that piece, but there's a lot more to go. So, Jason, what do you have?
I'll shift over to June and her fixation on Serena and trying to let go. And yeah, we get Dream again. And first, she was last episode dreaming, or she was in the afterglow of killing Fred, thinking about that, and then longing for Hannah. And now she's fixated on Serena. And did we see her? I can't remember. Did we see June find out that Serena was going to get to go to Gilead? She tells Rita.
I don't think so.
I don't think
she tells her.
Because I wonder if that's what kicked her off thinking about all this stuff.
I think so. You know?
Yeah. And man, it's a Serena cruelty montage. First, we see Serena laying there being pampered by all the other wives around her as if she's giving birth, while we know June is actually giving birth or having birth pains. We see her throwing her to the ground just because she found out she wasn't pregnant by rape from her husband. We saw her choking her for some reason. I don't remember why. Then when she drove her to show her Hannah with her two adopted parents, but wouldn't let her connect. Those are all earlier on, or most of them anyway. June's saying to Rita, when is she going to get what she deserves? And yeah, this whole thing, maybe she'll be a handmaid and then she'll get put on the wall. And it's like, nope, sorry, it's not quite that. And then it's kind of like last week when Serena was like, so I would like to reinstate the death penalty. And they're like, nah, we're just going to let her go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then June tells Luke about the finger. Serena knows I killed Fred. I sent her a finger, Fred's finger. What? I cut it off and sent it her. Do you want her to come after us and our family? You sent her a finger? How is that going to help our family? And that's not going to get Hannah back. And then it was great Luke moment where he's like, look, I need you here. I need you. I don't know what's going to happen to us if you're not trying to bring her back to a human being and not a bloodthirsty, vengeance-seeking person. And also just to think smart about what they want and how they can actually get it. And so then June is like, okay, yes, I need to get back to that person. And that's what the ballet is. It's a symbol of letting go of her obsession with getting revenge long enough to just be a human being and a family member again and relax back into the joys of normal life. I wondered while she was watching, though, she seemed upset for a second. And while she was watching the dancer, did the dancer remind her of Serena?
I think she just
can't stop thinking about it for too long.
When you're in pain, whether it be grief or anger, you can't take joy out of things that you used to. I mean, I remember feeling that way when I've, you know, like when my mom died, for weeks afterwards, the things that brought you joy no longer bring you joy, and it's hard to find that again. And I think she's trying to go through the motions, fake it till you make it, but it's not there yet.
And I've been there too, where you just, oh shit, I'm not finding any joy out of the things that usually, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But then I think she did find it for a second, because she's outside with Luke and he's like, how about having a second baby? And I thought maybe it was a flashback for a second, because the vibe suddenly felt like when they first met and they were dating and they were laughing and kissing, and she she had the old June face, and then it turned into modern June face because she saw that screen and Fred's funeral procession, and Aunt Lydia's there too, because why not? Just insult after insult, and then the final punch to the gut with Hannah and Serena holding her hand, knowing that June can see, just getting her revenge. And I mean, we talked about all that, but I just hope that after this they decide to take some action. I kind of hope they're on the same page, or at least a similar page. That'd be nice to see Luke and June working together for a little while.
I agree.
I don't think it's going to happen, but
I think it could. But also, like with the season 6 announcement, there's also this worry that we might lose people that are important to us. And so this is not a happy show.
No.
Well, if Luke dies and then June marries Nick, I'm just going to be so sad. It could happen.
I don't think that's going to be the ending.
It'll be a wedding special at the end.
I don't either. I did appreciate that Luke was trying to anchor June.
Absolutely.
When he's talking to her about this isn't going to get Hannah back, I just go back to the fact that don't think June was thinking about Hannah when she was killing Fred. I don't think there was any room in her mind for anything other than what her mission is, which was to kill Fred. Yeah. Now she's starting to realize the ramifications.
But I mean, I think, Luke already said, don't you think I would want to do that to Fred too? You know, but I think Luke can more. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading and I'm not a mind reader. Luke doesn't even exist anyway. But the character, I think he cares more about, or he would understand more June's desire to get revenge on Fred by killing him than he would going to the trouble of sending a finger to Serena. To him, that's just, like I said, poking the hornet's nest, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they had that beautiful, tender moment in the square, and then it was completely demolished.
Yeah.
And Serena knew what she was doing. I mean, she kisses Hannah on the forehead. It's all just, it's almost too much to watch at the time.
Yeah, it was shocking. You couldn't tear your eyes away. It was awful.
Mm-mm. Just Hannah knowing that she's scared of June, and, you know, we already saw, I forget whose child, but one of the people who escaped to Canada, and then when all the children came back,
he didn't want to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to see that with Hannah. I mean, the show shows uncomfortable things and we love it. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with it if that's what we see. But the idea of that is just so horrible.
Or the idea of her being married off to a commander because she's getting older.
Of age, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, though, at this point, Hannah has been away from her mother and father longer than she was with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
If you think about her age.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be really difficult for her to reassimilate with her family because
I know
this is all she's ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the timeline, not to get too deep into this, but lines up with her as the actress is aging and the show is progressing? It doesn't seem to, right?
I think the actress is older.
Yeah, I think the actress is older. One thing that I did notice, though, with regard to June, she's still got her handmaid tag.
Yeah.
It's still on her ear. Like, she hasn't taken it off.
I didn't think that was a tag. I thought that was something she was using to cover up her mutilation.
It looks like the handmaid tag.
That they snap. I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was something to cover up the...
If it is the handmaid tag, then my theory of why she kept that is because to take it off and, you know, try to have her ear fixed with the doctor or whatever would be to sort of pretend it never happened. And I think she would rather just be like, no, I'm not going to pretend it never happened. I'm always going to remember. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's just something else.
Huh.
Yeah. Because she touches it even when she's getting ready to go to the ballet.
Yeah. And that's what kind of fits, I feel like, with my thing that she's like, okay, I'm going to go to the ballet, but I'm not forgetting what I went through.
No, it's a reminder. This is a continuous reminder of everything that happened to me. It represents everything that happened to me. And I'm going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jason, do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right, Wendy.
I'm just going to change gears and talk about Esther and Janine.
Ooh.
Esther thinks that Janine is just kind of playing along with Lydia and the whole farce. But Janine is too terrified of being tortured and killed. She's just trying to stay alive. She's trying to keep Esther alive by telling her to accept her fate, be a good handmaiden, get your commander to like you, and get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I think Esther expected her to fight back in some way, and she isn't. The scene where they drag Esther into the library to be paraded around the men all drinking and smoking was just so horrifyingly cringy. I mean, they're just eyeing her up and down. Putnam demands to be left alone with Esther, which is expressly forbidden in Gilead laws. The handmaidens are never supposed to be alone with the commanders. But it's just another of the rules that can be broken if you're a man and you're in power. Lydia knows it's against the rules, and she knows she will be leaving Esther to who knows what Putnam has planned. But she leaves her anyway because she's just a woman, and she doesn't make the rules. Even though she's in a position of power for a woman, she still has no control over what these men do with these women. Esther is obviously terrified. Putnam makes a few veiled sexual comments disguised as the word of God. I mean, it just couldn't be worse. And we know this happens. We know this happens in this country. And then he hand feeds her a chocolate in this just grotesque way. And you could just see Esther is terrified. He's just toying with her and letting her know what's in store for her. At the time, I just thought, oh, it's just more Gilead torture, which I really don't want to see, but I totally get it that we're not supposed to forget that there are still women living under this in this government. But as we now know, this was kind of pivotal in Esther's upcoming decisions.
Mm-hmm.
She felt hopeless, and she no longer wanted to live in that world to be raped and abused. And she was really angry at Janine for not helping her and for kind of leaving her in that mess. And I don't blame Janine at all. I think Janine's just trying to not be hurt and not be tortured and not be killed. And I don't think anybody could find fault in that. So in the final scene in the conversation that Esther and Janine have while they're eating the chocolates or bread or whatever it was.
Nightshade chocolates.
Chocolates.
I thought it was ironic because Janine is willing to break the rules and eat the stolen goodies, but won't break the rules to help Esther. And again, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that was kind of the thoughts that Esther had. That was her perspective, that the reason why she wasn't satisfied with just killing herself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're dead or not. They certainly seemed dead.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I like Janine, especially.
Well, if you remember, Janine is the one who got Esther to eat by telling her, you know, you need to stay alive so you can be here when things get better. Well, I think Esther is expecting them to do something to make things better. Mm-hmm. And throughout this episode, I felt like Esther was just giving up because she had nobody. I mean, Lydia,
She, if you, like you just said, if she's like, okay, wait, what did you mean? Because things are not getting better. You're just going to put me in another situation where I'm going to be raped again.
And she'd already been abused and raped. I mean, Esther was a commander's wife, but Esther also was poisoning her husband. So if you think about whatever she did to the chocolates, it's not out of the ordinary for Esther to do something like this. Because she was doing it with the nightshade.
Yep.
She's a poisoner.
She's a poisoner.
Yep.
You know? And she says some really hurtful things to Janine. And I kind of don't blame her for saying them. Because I feel like Janine sold her a bill of goods that maybe wasn't what Esther thought it was. Definitely wasn't what Esther thought it was. I feel like Esther was thinking that that Janine was going to be like June.
Right.
And they were going to cause some sort of revolution. Because that's what Esther wanted to do.
And I think Janine has decided that she does want to stay alive at all costs.
Yeah.
But Esther doesn't.
No, not with this. Not with this being the life. Esther did not want to be a handmaid. She did not want to go and get pregnant. She didn't want to do these things that Janine kept telling her she needed to do. And even when they're in the vehicle and she goes to hold Janine's hand, you see at one point she brings her hand back. And I think that's when she realized, yeah, Janine's helping me stay alive, but that's not what I want. I don't want to live in this. Because Esther, I think 98% of this episode looked terrified. She's a young girl who's used to being the mistress of the house, who's been thrown into the situation where her only option is to do what she's told, hope to get pregnant so she'll be treated like a princess, Janine's words.
Right.
Janine is still very childlike in some ways, I think. That's something that I've found very endearing about her character over the last couple of seasons, but I don't want Janine to die. I don't want Esther to die, but I don't blame Esther for doing this. I just don't.
It kind of feels like they're still alive. They looked dead, but it felt like you would think there's more to their ending than that. Although, you never know.
You never know. But you'd think that if they were dead, they would sort of make it clear. Mm-hmm. Why would you be like, okay, cliffhanger, and then next week, nope, they're dead.
Right. Exactly. That's what made me think they're still alive. But I don't
know. It really depends on what poison she used. Because Janine didn't eat a lot of the poison. Like, she didn't eat a lot of that chocolate, that first chocolate. Esther ate quite a bit. It was like almost like at the end, she shoved a whole bunch of it in her mouth.
Yeah.
As soon as she started coughing, it's like she wanted to eat.
Yeah, maybe Esther will die, but Janine will live or something.
I mean, in Lydia's face, Lydia looked terrified.
She was sitting there going, no, no, no. And I'm like, why don't you go get some help? You're not helping.
Yeah. Yeah, she was holding Janine because I think Lydia feels a certain closeness to Janine. Although there were things that happened in this episode, like, don't get ahead of yourself, dear.
That's Lydia. Yeah,
that's Lydia. There's always those little things that remind you that even if she shows any kindness whatsoever, she's not a kind person. I mean, she was giving those girls a pep talk about going out to get be selected. Like, they were going to be doing a show on Broadway. You know? Like, this is such a wonderful thing. It's almost like a glamorous life as a handmaid. Wonderful things, you know, do this, do that. No, it's a terrible life.
And then leaves her alone with him.
Yeah.
Well, in her mind, they're doing God's work.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they're shaping up to be to have Putnam be the big bad guy this season?
Could be.
I don't like him.
I don't like him. I didn't like him before either.
Yeah.
No, I never liked him.
No.
Putnam's a good name because he's a putz.
Yep. Absolutely. Did you have anything else, Wendy?
No.
We covered a bunch of my notes. That was another one of my big points. But I kind of will spin off of that a little bit and talk about Janine and getting to see her daughter, Angela, which Angela ran to her and said, blessed day, which I thought, wow, that's a huge moment. And then Janine gave her a hug. Then we get this exchange between Janine and Mrs. Putnam, where Mrs. Putnam acknowledged Janine. Like, I thank God for her every day and for those who brought her to me. So it was almost like she acknowledged Janine as being the mother of Angela.
Yeah, and I'm like, fuck you. Give me my daughter.
I know. I know.
For her, that's showing grace, but it's...
It is. I just want Janine to have some happiness. I'm glad that she got to give her that hug. I'm glad that she had that exchange and got a little bit of, like a little nugget of appreciation from Mrs. Putnam, even though it wasn't much. In Gilead, little things like that are a big deal.
It is, but it's like
you don't when get
your
that.
Abuser gives you a compliment, you know, it's like,
yep.
Just, she can't, like Janine can't get out of there, but you need to get out.
Right. Buys you flowers the day after they kick the shit out of
yes.
you.
Yes.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, it's terrible. So Janine and Aunt Lydia have this conversation, which I do wonder if Esther overheard it and that was the start of her getting to be uneasy. But Lydia tells Janine that she can accompany Esther to the Putnams. And that's when Janine says, well, do you think if the Putnams select Esther that I can go and visit her there? And that's when Lydia says, well, honey, don't get ahead of yourself. I'm wondering if Esther overheard that conversation because she was right there. Like, she was probably 6 feet away. And I think that may have been the start of the unraveling that day.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I just think... You've got someone that you trust that tells you, you know, things are going to get better. And now she's telling you, you need to just survive and fake it in this world. But then you overhear her talking and smiling about the potential to go and visit the place where her daughter is. To benefit
from Esther being the Putnam's handmaid.
Yep. From Esther's pain, from Esther's continued torture. Yeah.
But the tricky part is that Janine, I think, no matter what, she was already, before, she didn't know this opportunity was going to come up to go to the wake at the Putnam's house. In fact, I can't believe Lydia would even send her there after the history. That it's kind of stupid, to be honest.
That seems kind of stupid.
But the point is that it's clearly not Janine's like motive from the start. Let me engineer this so I can use Esther to get to my daughter. But when the opportunity comes up, that is suddenly another motive in her head. But that doesn't erase that Janine already was just counseling Esther, just stay under the radar and do your best to survive because the goal is to stay alive. And if you act out, you're going to potentially die or worse, you know? So there's both of those things going on.
Yeah. It's very complicated, but remembering Esther is a young girl who's already been through so much trauma. The last person that she felt had her back is now not making her feel that way, is making her feel like I'm all alone. Mm-hmm. Because I also got that feeling from Esther in this episode, is that she really felt it was her against the world at the end. Like, there's nobody here who mm-hmm. cares about me. I'm the only one, you know, that cares about me, that can do anything. I mean, she even tells Janine that we're going to make June proud just before she starts puking blood.
And she felt like that she was alone when she first got there to the Red Center, I guess. But then Janine made her feel like she was her friend and her protector. And that's what got her to calm down and start pretending to toe the line or whatever. But it seemed pretty clear to me on second watch that when she changed her mind was when they were in the van on the way home from... on the way back to the Red Center from the wake, and she put her hand on Janine's knee and said, I don't want to get posted. And that was like, I'm serious. I want you to hear me. And Janine said, well, just try to make friends with him and then you'll get pregnant faster. And that's where her face just dropped and she took her hand away. And that's mm-hmm. the moment she decided, all right, I'm going to poison you. You know?
Yeah, I feel like she questioned mm-hmm. it before then. Yeah. I feel like she's been going down this road of, do I really have anyone I can trust here? And I feel like that was like the final thing. She's like, no, I'm really alone. And you can see the despair on her face. Yeah. And it's just so sad. Such a sad thing. Mm-hmm. This show is, it's so well done, but there are terrible things that happen. It's just hard.
That's what I feel mostly when they said they're going to end it after another season. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, too soon. Like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for what's coming.
I think I am. I think I'm ready for it to end.
I'm ready for it to end, but I don't know what that means.
But what mm-hmm. does the ending mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What horrible places will they go to?
All right, so we're coming back around to Jason. Do you have any other notes or points that you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, I'll add a little bit to the Janine and Esther discussion. Starting with the end, what a freaking Handmaid's Tale blow your mind scene. First off, they've been to the Putnams. Warren Putnam was creepy as fuck. And now they're back at the Red Center. And it seems like mm-hmm. friendly vibes between them. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there in the soft light. And Esther gives her some of the chocolate, which we just saw Warren try to feed to her. And so it makes sense that she would have taken some. And then when Esther said, you know, I really didn't like you when we first met. That's like such a typical thing that we've seen in so many movies of people mm-hmm. that end up being friends, right?
Yeah.
And they both even chuckle. And then she goes, and I was right the first time. And it's like, what? Like, oh wait, what? And she goes, you don't care about me. And then mm-hmm. the tone just really shifted. It was and then she goes, you just wanted to see your daughter. You lied to me. You used me like Aunt Lydia, like they all do. You're one of them. And she's like, I was trying to help you survive. And then mm-hmm. then adding to already the holy shit of that moment, they just start coughing up blood, and I think blood, right?
Yeah,
and
chocolate blood. Together. Yeah.
What yeah. a mm-hmm. what a visual there, because everything's all like clean and nice, and then there's mm-hmm. chocolate and blood everywhere. It's like, wow.
I even went so far as to start looking up what type of poison it could have been that she
caustic
used.
Agent.
So on second watch, I tried to see if Janine was guilty of what Esther accused her of not caring about her and using her and stuff. And, you know, we've already talked about some of that, but Esther wished that Janine was going with her to the wake. So she brought it up. Mm-hmm. And then Lydia allowed Janine to accompany her, and she was so happy because it's the Putnams. And then Lydia even tells Janine, I want you to help Esther get to be the Putnam's new handmaid, which is such a fucked up situation for so many reasons. And then Janine... So that possibility is in her mind now. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. Like,
yeah.
If she goes there, maybe, and she asks Lydia, yeah, can I visit her? Don't get ahead of yourself, dear. And then, yeah, her daughter even comes over to her. So that was, those scenes just really get to me. And then later, Esther says, like, we got to do something. And Janine's like, anyone who does something ends up dead or worse. Just follow the rules. Get Warren to like you, you know, all this stuff, encouraging her to get along, to go along. And like I said, I think that's she may have done that anyway. She was already kind of doing that. But now she has this initial Janine lost an eye. She's been to the colonies.
Tortured.
Yeah.
Tortured. She tried to escape and saw most of her friends die. So
she knows how bad it can get. She knows how bad it can get.
And then they bring Esther to meet Warren and he sends everyone else out. And that whole scene with the chocolate where he's going, it was just so fucked up. And
it's like a person feeding a baby or a child.
It's just like, what, it's a power play thing. And you just want to kill the guy right there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's you're going to do what I tell you to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're my play toy here. And then back, you know, I wondered, well, he could have raped her there. They cut the scene off. Yeah. I don't think so, because in the van on the way back, she looked upset, but not like shaken to her core. But right. She knows what's ahead, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
And that's when she put her hand on Janine's. And then, you know, I think that's when she really wanted to make it clear, I don't want to go back there. And Jean's like, no, just do it. And it's like, and then, yeah, when they got back and she's trying to tell her how great it is to be pregnant, even if you don't get to keep the baby, it's awesome. Just trying to hype it all up. And I do think, I don't even know if Janine would have had that conversation if she didn't have stars in her eyes about the possibility of getting to see her daughter more. So I do think that became more and more prominent in Janine's mind at that point. But it's not as simple as you don't love me, you don't want to care about me. You know, I don't have anyone here, like Esther said, but it is complicated. That's what I think.
Janine was in a place where she could live in that world for weeks and months with the thought that maybe I might get to see my daughter once. Mm-hmm. I might live all that time and find it acceptable, or not even acceptable, just tolerable. Because I might get that tiny 60 seconds of joy. Mm-hmm. But Esther's not in that place. Mm-mm. And I really don't think Janine thought she was doing what was best to keep her alive. But Esther was not in that place. Esther, that was mm-hmm. not tolerable for her.
No. No. And that's why she's like, you're not June. You're pathetic. Because she wants a June.
She does.
Right.
She wants to go out on an adventure.
She wants somebody to save her.
Yeah. Or yeah. to fight back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what June awoke this fighter in her. Mm-hmm. And you can't put it back in the bottle now. Like, she wants to fight back. She wants to go on missions and do things to make change.
And Janine, I don't think, was ever really like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, she, even when they were with those, what they thought were rebels, and she struck up a relationship with that guy, she almost stayed with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, think about Esther and Janine when they were back on the farm and what Esther put Janine through with the pig, Mr. Darcy. Like, they killed the pig and she made her eat the pig, like the pork. Janine did not want to eat it. That was, I mean, Esther was not kind to Janine. And yet Janine was still in this situation trying to be kind to Esther.
And Esther was really a little girl.
Yeah.
And Janine was a little older. She felt, I think she felt motherly mm-hmm. towards her. She was trying to protect her. I felt sorry for Janine.
You know, the actress, McKenna Grace, she was in Ghostbusters Afterlife in between these seasons playing Spengler's granddaughter or something. Mm-hmm. I think she's improved. I mean, I know you guys liked her last season. So did I, but sometimes I felt like she was a little stilted or something, but this episode, I thought she was fantastic.
That scene between her and Putnam was really good. Yeah. Like, you could just see the emotion on her face. She was shaking. It was really, I mean, it made you feel the terror.
Yeah, she looked terrified in this episode.
Yeah, there were a few moments in this show that just make me go, wow, Handmaid's Tale really hasn't lost its touch. I am completely revolted right now.
Yeah. You know? It's just the scene of her walking in, just this little girl and all the men in suits, smoking, just sitting around, eyeing her up. I mean, just that just made me, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Which it's supposed
to be. Well, Mrs. Putnam even pointed out she's so young. Like, she pointed that out. Because she is.
And she was a wife.
And Lydia's, like, smooths that over with, well, she'll know the respect you deserve. And thinking, no, she'll be the first one to put strychnine in your food. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she knows what to do. I don't.
She's like, she was a wife and she poisoned her husband. And Miss Putnam's like, oh, okay. Cool. Interesting. Right. That could work.
yeah, I understand why Esther did what she did, but I don't want them to be dead. Like, I get it. I don't blame Janine for trying to keep Esther alive, but I also don't blame Esther for feeling like everything was hopeless either.
Janine has had such an incredible arc in this show from the very first episode, I think. It's hard to believe that would be her ending, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm dying to watch the next episode just so we know.
I'm getting ready to.
All right. Wendy, do you have anything?
So I'm going to talk about Mark Twella because it's going to happen.
I didn't even bother taking any notes on him.
No.
Just that he got
a promotion. Like, they mentioned that he got a promotion after.
No, he was saying that to Nick. I also thought that. I had to replay it back because the audio was a little funky.
All right.
In that scene, because I thought the same thing. I think Nick and Mark's voices are similar. Okay. Because I thought the same thing. I just think, again, the scenes between Mark and Serena are great. There's this crazy tension between the two of them. I don't know where it's going, but I'm here for it. He says, I'll be by your side every step of the way. And she remains ungrateful and arrogant. Mark seems almost cowed by her at points.
Oh,
and
yeah. Like, I was noticing, because she exudes this I'm a boss energy. And if she wants a cigarette, she doesn't say, can I have a cigarette? She says, you got a cigarette. And then he just whips one out and gives it to her, you know?
Yeah, no question. Yeah,
whatever she wants. Whatever Serena wants.
And that was, like, the closest moment they've had in that scene where he gives her the cigarette. But then, of course, they're interrupted. God damn it!
Yeah, and he was sort of trying to console her, too, because they were waiting to find out if the council members would go for her idea of expanding the funeral and thinking it probably wouldn't. And he's like, well, at least you tried, like just trying to cheer her up or something.
Yeah,
I know. Like, he's very compassionate towards her. Yep. They block Mark from going anywhere other than like the lobby of the house at the gathering. I think it was at the Putnam's house. And he kind of just sits down and takes it.
Yeah.
You know, he certainly doesn't seem like he's in control. And I mean, he's their enemy. He's the Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, the point it sounded like from what they were saying on the plane, he's like, when they weren't sure how she'd be received, he's like, you'll have a security detail. I'll be with you at all times. It was about her safety. So I could see where if she's like, no, I'll be fine, that he wouldn't push it. Although I think she's supposed to come back, right, to Canada. That's the idea. She's in trouble.
I thought that was the plan.
Yeah.
But then she was gallivanting around by herself quite a few times.
Yeah.
While Mark was out in the snow.
What's Mark
going to
do if they're like, sorry, we're not giving her back?
Right. Right. Or arrest Mark or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it would cause an international incident.
Right. It seemed very precarious.
Well, she sniped back at Mark, too, and was like, well, you'll keep me safe like you kept my husband safe. Yeah, right from the start.
She gives it to him.
She's not holding back.
And when she first kind of enters the funeral procession, he just gives her this look like, what is happening there? I need to know. Do you think they'll get together?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think they'll just keep having these scenes where they say they show their chemistry, but I don't think anything's ever going to come from it.
And he's just great. He just has this intensity. The character has this intensity about him that I really am digging. I really like it.
I do too. I like his character.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, I love his character. We didn't see as much of him as I wanted in this episode, but I thought what we got was really good.
Yeah.
And I think he is telling the truth when he says that he doesn't know what happened, but I think he doesn't know what happened because he chose not to know. I think he had a really good idea what was going to happen.
Right, yeah. And also on the bright side with him, he's one of those characters that I would imagine maybe they didn't even intend on having him on much, but he was so good that they brought him back. You know, they could have easily just, he's just one of the admin guys that you never see again or something.
Right. I do know that people are shipping them online. Have seen that.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I've made bad predictions before. Maybe they'll be...
Well, I always think, like, they won't do... You know, when two characters obviously have chemistry, like Scully and Mulder, spoiler alert. Mm. I never thought they would put Sam those and Diane. Two together.
Yeah.
And then they did. Yeah.
They do it, but in this show, on this show...
Maddie and David.
Oh, Maddie and
really
David.
Going back there.
Yeah, on this show, you can't count on anything. Because as soon as you figure something out, they're going to flip it around.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's hard to see where it's going, but
All right, they're definitely getting together.
I feel like Bruce Miller is constantly thinking about, how can I twist this around to keep this
intriguing?
He listens
to our podcast, and whatever we say, he does the opposite.
So, Wendy, you definitely don't want them to get together, right?
No.
No.
No, no, no. 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 Gotta kill him off. Mm-hmm. That was about it for that point.
I only have a couple of smattering of notes. One of them is... Here lies poor Fred in a cardboard box. It wasn't a cardboard box, but it was a wooden box. It was a wooden box. It didn't look like a coffin. It was coming off the plane. I just was like, yep, okay, that's Fred. We feared him for 4 seasons, and now this is it. He's in a wooden box with a stamp on it that says head on the end that his head is on, and... Wow, I mean, we go from everything we went through 4 seasons, and this is the end.
Yeah, and it said, please handle carefully, which I thought was funny, because I don't think you can hurt.
No, no, based on what we saw of the body.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
You want to be careful with a dead body anyway.
You do? No.
I think.
No, you do.
Guess it depends on who it is.
Yes. And the last thing I have is Serena is not afraid to say the words, you'll figure it out, because she is always saying them to people who say,
that's what a CEO does.
Yeah.
This is what I want. I don't care how you do it.
You'll figure it out. She's always doing that. Like to Mark Twello, now to Lawrence and Nick. She wants something done, even if they tell her it can't be done. She's like, you'll figure it out.
They are really making the most out of her character. They're so good, because you'd think, oh, what are they going to do with her if she's just sort of sidelined up in Canada? But
oh, they'll keep her busy.
This was really a Serena episode.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, yeah.
She was feeding into Nick's ego, like talking to him about Fred would be so proud of him being on the fruitful path.
Well, for me, I thought that was a dig, because I thought the subtext was, I know what you did. And instead, you know, he's like, Fred was like a father to you. And the subtext was, and then
that's true.
Him, you fucker.
That's true. That is true. And then I just thought she had balls for going for it, knowing that she's a woman and they're probably not going to do what she wants. She still went to see Commander Calhoun anyway. And then I loved Lawrence's comeback that he got them to say yes because he's not a woman. Because he's a man.
How'd you do it? Oh, because I'm not a woman.
And that's pretty much all that I have. There's just, you know, that smile at the end from Serena. She knows she has the upper hand right now. She knows it. And now we're going to continue the chess match between the two of them.
I had a little bit more about Serena. I wrote, she's not going down without a fight. She was a large force in making Gilead. She is about to turn that same power that she used to, you know, overthrow the government and create this crazy Gilead. And she's going to use that same power that she had into manipulating Gilead for her own motivations. Mm-hmm. And it was masterful.
Yeah. Watch it.
Yep. And as terrible as it is, it's enthralling to watch.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, watching her at work, Yvonne Strahovski just kills it every week. Yeah. And watching her get the opportunity to shine in this episode, as dastardly as Serena is, was pretty amazing. I mean, imagine this. This show is really difficult to watch, and yet we come back every week because it's so entertaining and so earth-shattering with what happens that you just get pulled in anyway. You're pulled in. You can't look away. You have to go back every week. Even if bad things happen to people, you're still watching. So, Jason, what do you have for notes?
A couple. We talked about a lot of the lines from Lawrence, but a couple more. Just when they greeted on the tarmac and it was Serena and it was just him and Nick, and he said, "Welcome home. We thought we'd roll out the red carpet." Like that.
For the queen.
Yeah, he said, yeah, about hockey, you'd love it. It's elegant, but brutal. Or when Commander Lawrence told the council that Serena wanted Fred to have a bigger funeral, and he told her they said no. And he goes, there seems to be a lingering feeling that for all of Fred's admirable qualities, he was somewhat of a traitor. And his eyebrows go up real quick. Mm-hmm. Somewhat of a traitor. And then, the whole thing about not being a woman. I'm glad they're using him like that. It's so fun to watch. I mentioned about, just being back in Gilead gave me this really bad feeling. Like, I thought, I feel like I was being abused and I got away and then I ended up back there. You know, it's just really anxious. And I used to more be able to appreciate the beautiful aesthetic, mm-hmm. an arrangement of objects and the light and everything. But now it all just makes me feel anxious.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying the show shouldn't do that, but this is just how I felt. Like, oh, and Serena back in her old garb, green mm-hmm. outfit and everything. I did think the funerary handmade garb was pretty cool looking.
Yep.
Why is June digging in the snow? Was that a previous
plot point? She was hiding the gun.
What gun? Oh, the gun she got from the support group.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I figured that's gonna come mm-hmm. back.
Yeah, of course. Point. Yeah. It's gonna grow into a gun tree.
Yep.
That's my prediction. Let's see. They were all like at Luke and June and Moira live together, is mm-hmm. that right? Does Rita live there too?
No, I think.
Or she
no,
I just visited.
Rita has her own place.
Yeah, so they're all there playing board games. And my first thought was, what a cool, warm, cozy house and all these friends together. And I'm like, I wish my life was that social, you know? But then June had this Scrabble flashback because she used to play Scrabble with Fred and kind of tried to use it to get closer to him. But now it just makes her think of all the worst parts of, well, it's all bad, but anyway.
Well, poor Rita, PTSD. Though. I mean, June was just rehashing and bringing all of this stuff up. And I don't blame Rita for lashing back and just saying, you know, I suffered too. I wasn't a handmaid, but I still suffered.
Yeah.
And I think June sometimes forgets that people, not only the handmaid suffered, other people have suffered. I think one reason why I get uneasy when they go to Gilead is the littlest thing can get you hanging on the wall, like anything, mm-hmm. any little thing. So it's scary when we go there. I'm scared for the characters that are there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. My last little note was that Mark tried to convince Nick, you know, hey, if you help us, then maybe you can become, you can leave Gilead and be welcome, I guess, in Canada or become a U.S. citizen. And he said, you know, I'll remember that or something like that. So I feel like that's going to come back in one way or another at some point. Yeah, right.
He didn't say no.
No. But he also didn't say yes.
That's right. And Mark even mentioned, he said, you know, I know you have a complicated past. But it sounded like he was definitely offering him immunity and citizenship.
Yeah.
In exchange for help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the...
Yeah.
He knows he's a commander. He's the head of the eyes. He knows everything. I don't know what that would do, but I'm sure it would help them.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole point, I think, of saying, hey, you've been able to stay under the radar and help June. That takes talent. You help us, you can come live with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is trying to entice him. I don't know with Nick. He's so hard to figure out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what he really wants.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's hard to tell.
Maybe if he had a better actor playing.
No, oh my goodness. Go and watch just Spiral, kidding. Jason. Just go and watch it and then tell me what you think of it then. Yeah, tell me what you think of him after watching it.
That is just a joke, by the way. I think his acting was fine in this episode. It was good.
Yeah.
I'm just being trying to be funny.
You could see the longing when he talked about Nicole.
Yeah. It's a pipe dream. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, that's a pipe dream.
Yep.
That he'd get to see his daughter.
About, coming back and living in the same place as his daughter.
That would make things very complicated. For June, for Luke, for Nick.
Well, that's why it might happen.
I know. Anything to make things complex and difficult, because it makes for great television. It just does. All right. Wendy, what are your notes? Jason, you're all set, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
All right.
I just wanted to say a little bit more about the opening scene with the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that... Just as Commander Lawrence predicted last season, he said, you know, that basically the torture and death of Fred by her own hands wasn't going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not enough.
No, it isn't.
I mean, she's coming right off that and she's already thinking about Serena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought maybe she wouldn't, but she was. And then it seemed like, okay, maybe Luke will succeed in, I mean, we should have known he wouldn't, but. It looked like
pulling at least
they had a good day, and then she walked out and saw what she saw.
Well, and the lyric of the song before she opened her eyes and it transitioned to something else was, I can make you mine. And that just makes me think, you know, June's thinking about, I've taken care of Fred, now it's for Serena, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? You know, I'm going to, you know, you're going to pay, is what I'm getting at,
And just running all the worst moments over and over in her mind.
I thought the scene where June and Serena are both getting dressed and pulling their boots on, it was really beautifully done. So much care given to the scene, the differences between the two of them. And I did note that, like, Serena was missing her finger and June's missing part of her ear. And they are both thinking about each other.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. There's more to come. Stay with us. Back, we have a little bit of news, and as we talked about at the top of the podcast, The Handmaid's Tale has been renewed for a sixth and final season. There was a great article on Variety talking about the renewal, and Bruce Miller, who is the creator, the showrunner, and the executive producer, said in a statement on Thursday, "It has been a true honor to tell the story of Margaret Atwood's groundbreaking novel and chillingly relevant world, and we are thrilled to bring viewers a sixth and final season of The Handmaid's Tale. We're grateful to Hulu and MGM for allowing us to tell this story, which unfortunately has remained as relevant as ever throughout its run." And are in awe of our incredible fans for their unwavering support and without whom we never would have gotten to this point. If you think about it, I mean, Bruce Miller said 10 seasons, 6 seasons, whatever. He was going to do it until Elizabeth Moss pretty much said, okay. Now, I'm not saying that she said that this was it and she didn't want to do it anymore. They've decided that number six.
Probably collaboratively.
Yeah.
Yeah. They decided. Hopefully, and I think that's a good place to stop.
Me too. Yeah. I don't want them to lose any more of the cast because losing Alexis Bledel was rough.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe she'll come back for an episode or two.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
Maybe, if they say, what if we showed you just eating an ice cream?
What if we paid you a lot of money to do like a week's worth of work? That's what I say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it would be worth it because I think a lot of people were invested in Emily's story.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the ending of that.
Yeah. I'm one of those people.
Oh, yeah.
So the AV Club had an article called The Handmaid's Tale 6th Season Will Be Its Last, But We're Not Done with Gilead Completely. While this last season determines the end for the once never ending dark narrative that we've gone on with June and other characters throughout this series, there's already talk of spinoffs in the mix and under the
spinoffs.
Yes, there are already spinoffs.
Fear the Walking Fred.
No, I said Fear the Handmaid, and they're going to go on about all the handmaids rising up against their commanders.
Out of the grapes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Will there be zombies?
I don't know.
Just wondering.
So under the tutelage of the Handmaid's Tale creator, showrunner, and executive producer Bruce Miller will come the sequel series The Testaments, which is based on Atwood's 2019 sequel novel. It does go on to talk about the setting, and I'm not going to share that information at this time because it's too much of a spoiler considering where we're at in The Handmaid's Tale.
I guess, if people don't care about spoilers, they can just go search on
it's there.
Testaments, right?
It's definitely there. So, it's real difficult to look for news because there's a lot of information out there about season 5. But I was able to get some to share with everybody today. So that's what I have. So it's time to get to our listener feedback section. We asked you guys what you're hoping for in season 5. And this was even before you'd seen any of the episodes. So this is what we heard. So Amelie Rochette says, a real fight against Gilead. Totally agree with that. Hope so.
Ginger Martinez says, a June and Hannah reunion. I would like to see Serena face some consequences.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. By the end. I mean, now I'm thinking, but maybe it doesn't have to happen this season, but since there's only one more by the end.
Yeah.
For me. Kelly Burgess says, I think with Fred gone, Serena Joy could play a vital role in taking down Gilead. But I don't know. Although I don't know if we'll be finished with Gilead by the end of the series.
That's true.
Right.
Lindsay,
if she plays a role, I think it'll be by accident.
Yeah.
Not on purpose. Yeah.
Lindsay Schlicht said, redemption for June, if that's possible. Questionable behavior is one thing, but what she did to Luke made it feel impossible to root for her. I enjoy a great character, but that was too much. She's, of course, referring to that the sexual scene that we saw last season.
But it's interesting because Lindsay's saying, even though it seems too much, I think Lindsay would love to be turned around on that and have the show, make her do something to make it feel like June actually was redeemed.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Penny Lennox says, I want something good to happen to Janine.
She got some chocolate.
Oh.
bad joke. Bad joke.
Too soon. Too soon, Jason. Especially because we don't know.
We'll see what happens.
We don't know what happened.
That poor woman has suffered so much and continues to be sweet, and she just wants love. Part of me wants Fred's body delivered to Serena Joy, as is, so she knows what happened to him. And part of me wants her to never know and just always wonder and imagine what June may have done.
Ooh, I like that.
Alma Contreras says, this series is so disturbing and heart-wrenching that I never can bring myself to do a series rewatch before the new season. I do not blame you for that. That being said, I too want to see a true revolt from within Gilead. I also am very conflicted with June. Hopefully this season will make her likable in my eyes. That'd be nice.
Yeah. And the last one is from Barbie Allen. I want Serena Joy and Gilead to be taken down. Hannah must be saved and reunited with her parents. It may never be the same between them all, but it's still a better life than any life for a woman in Gilead. And Truello, better stay away from Serena. It will make me sick if they start a relationship. Also, with Alexis Bledel not returning, I hope they do a good job writing her character out. She was amazing, especially in season 4, and I'm so bummed she won't be around.
I mean, given that they could not show her, I think they did a decent job of writing her out. Yeah,
I do too.
And I think it made sense for her character and where she was. And I'm just going to apologize to Barbie for this entire season because I'm going to be talking about shipping Mark and Serena. Sorry, Barbie.
Sorry, Barbie.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. Lots of them going on right now.
What just came out today and I haven't had a chance to watch is Cobra Kai. I'm sure anyone who is into Handmaid's Tale, you're going to love Cobra. No, actually, they're pretty much totally different.
I think it's a palate cleanser, probably.
Yeah, maybe that's a good, yeah.
It's what you need to watch after Handmaid's Tale.
I think so. Yeah.
So we'll be podcasting about that this weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Those will all be out before.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, that will have already been out in your feed. Yeah. You will have been listening to it. Thank you.
She-Hawk is happening now.
She-Hawk or She-Hulk?
I thought that's what I said. She-Hulk.
She-Hawk. No, it sounded like She-Hawk.
No, I think that's how I say it. Hawk. Hawk. I don't know what that
is. She-Hawk is out. It's great.
My accent sometimes, Wendy, comes across where I say words. I have a hard time saying horror, so it sounds right. Horror. I'm just kind of like horror, I guess. I don't know.
She-Hulk may be over by the it might be over by this time, but I'm sure House of the Dragon will still be on. I hope you guys are watching that, and I hope you guys are going out and subscribing to our individual podcast if you're really into those shows, because that will help those shows come up in the ratings, even though we have a lot of them out on the House Podcastica feed.
And if you're only subscribing to the show and don't realize that there are all these other great episodes you know, if you're subscribing to one show, you may not know that there are all these other wonderful podcasts over at Podcastica. So go and check it out.
Thank you.
Next time on the podcast, The Handmaid's Tale Season 5, Episode 3, Border. Oh,
that doesn't tell us much.
No.
Well, it scares me a little bit. Like, is June going to the border, June and Luke?
Yeah. They crossing the border?
I don't know.
Is someone coming back? I don't know. I'm not sure. But we'll soon find out. All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
And really, don't forget to check out Cobra Kai. I think you're going to love it. It's elegant, but brutal.